Hi, I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Sean Sutter, news and feature writer for Search Health IT.
And we're the Hit Squad. Welcome back to another episode of our Hit Squad podcast series. Today, we're going to be talking about APIs, blockchain and healthcare, some conferences and events that are coming up for us in the next weeks and months, and I guess just whatever else is on our mind as per usual. So, Sean, what have you been up to lately? I know you've been writing and talking a lot about blockchain, which is really interesting. And I know we both were assigned to write about APIs in health IT. So maybe we could just start off with APIs. You know, what's your angle on APIs? And then, you know, after that, maybe you can tell me a little bit more about blockchain and the health IT world.
Sure. It's something we definitely been talking a lot about. Well, as far as APIs in health IT, it's kind of starting this year, it's kind of a soft requirement under the meaningful use, well, the old meaningful use, the 2015 edition of Certified Health IT Technology, which is the latest EHR systems that ONC certifies for use with federal reimbursement programs. Well, APIs are specified in there as more or less required of developers to have APIs and to publish all the documentation, the syntax, everything about the APIs on the Certified Health IT product list. However, the ONC and CMS gave a sort of an out clause where you can use FHIR instead, Fast Health Interoperability Resources, which, as you know, works closely with APIs. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting about all this, just to boil it down, is that the old emphasis on HIEs and on HL7 for interoperability is in the past. Mm-hmm. Now it's really looking forward to APIs. Now you still can use HIEs, of course, and they're in almost every state, and it says that in the 2015 edition, but what's really emphasized is APIs. Mm-hmm. So as far as blockchain and healthcare, I'm going to this symposium in Washington, D.C., which is at NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, really prestigious quasi-governmental institute that sets all kinds of standards, and all these blockchain concept proposals will be delivered there. And I think it's safe to say that blockchain in healthcare is really taking off. It's still in a very, very, very early stages, but it's kind of like every week there's like a new vendor or a new use case, and really the main use cases for blockchain in healthcare would be security of patient records, interoperability, and audit trail for the government, especially for Medicare and other insurance payments. Just, mm-hmm. But as you've noted, and when you've written about blockchain in healthcare, Kristen, the computing power issue is a big issue, among others. The storage that you need to set up a big blockchain network, and of course, right now the biggest blockchain network is Bitcoin, which has some shady associations, you know, because of the cryptocurrency.
Right.
To some extent, those are in the past, but still, it's got this image. But I think it's coming more mainstream because of all the financial institutions that are using it experimentally right now. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'm pretty confident we're going to be hearing a lot more about blockchain in healthcare in 2016.
So I have a follow-up question for
you. Sure.
So you mentioned storage. I feel like, you know, in healthcare, people are struggling with storage right now as it is. Mm-hmm. So if blockchain becomes, you know, this really popular thing, is that going to add on to the storage or the storage struggles?
Very good question. There's two ways of looking at that. I mean, some of the blockchain proponents, the really serious ones, say, oh no, well, they're really just markers and the storage is off the chain, mm-hmm. but you still need the storage. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? It's not the blockchain itself, but so yes, it could be costly.
I like how you just said off the chain in a very serious way.
Yeah. So yes, it's a good point, and it's off the chain. Yeah, there's a lot
blockchain
of puns.
Blockchain is off the chain.
There's a lot of good puns you can make with blockchain.
Oh man, we should do a blog post, like a blog post on that.
Yeah,
Sean, you should do a blog post.
I will. There's a lot of puns, and I won't say them here. Some of them are not suitable for a family audience. All right, so Kristen, what was your take on APIs, and what are some of the stories or videos you've worked on or are working on lately that you really interested you the most?
Yeah, definitely. So, interestingly, you know, you brought up APIs and their relationship to interoperability. Well, I spoke to three experts about APIs, and there was they obviously weren't talking to each other, they were just talking to me, but when I would ask them about APIs and interoperability, there was kind of this little debate going on. One of them was kind of in the same boat as what you were saying, that, you know, APIs are essential to interoperability. And then two of them were like saying that, you know, when it comes to interoperability, APIs are really not the key. And we've heard this sentiment before, but they really are just saying that it's really not about the technology. It's not about APIs. It's all about the fact that interoperability is a political issue.
So, you mean in terms of information blocking, like people don't want to let go of their information?
Yeah, like in terms of the fact that we don't have interoperability, they don't feel like, APIs is going to be the answer. What really needs to happen is there needs to be a political shift. There needs to be a business case built up around that so that people will actually start using the technology.
Like a government mandate, like Mark Probst of Intermountain says, like a standard mandated by the government?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So I think that was very interesting. There's just a whole lot of debate going on about that. And then just to keep on going with APIs, another expert was telling me that he thought APIs would be kind of essential for precision medicine. He kind of has this view that he wants to make genetic information just available at the doctor's fingertips. And kind of in order to do that, you need APIs, because their APIs are good at kind of providing small pieces of information where it's needed to whoever needs it, when it's needed, kind of a thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But other than APIs, it seems like my world has been invaded by VNAs at the moment. I've been writing a lot about them. And I think the most interesting kind of tidbits that I've heard about VNAs is that one expert was saying that right now the majority of healthcare organizations are simply using VNAs as image archives. I mean, that's what they are. But he says that people really need to start shifting their view to the future, because VNAs play a much more important role than simply an archive. He talked about this in terms of population health, you know, allowing people to access not only the patient's clinical data, but have their image data kind of rolled up with that as well. And he also talked about its relationship with personalized medicine. So, you know, patients are continuing to want access to their health information, and that includes medical images. And another expert was talking about the role that VNAs will have with telemedicine. You know, he kind of saw in the future being able to, kind of send or grant access to a patient their medical images. You know, some of these VNAs have their own viewers so that a patient could access it through that. And then with the help of telemedicine, you could essentially, you know, provide these images to a patient in the home, have them look at it, and then also, you know, kind of call in the doctor and have this whole conversation about this patient's health with the image right there with the doctor. So that was kind of his view for the future, which I thought was kind of cool. So Sean, what other health IT events are on your agenda this fall?
Oh, okay, but I just wanted to interject there that sure. I had my own experience with medical imaging last week. I had an MRI on my knee. A lot of people have had that. And I was able to view the images in about an hour through the patient portal of the imaging center.
That's awesome.
Of course, I didn't know what I was looking at. now, I did read, there was a radiologist, you know, had written his interpretation of it, but highly technical, of course.
Right.
But I got the sense that something not that great is going on with my knee.
Oh, no.
But the orthopedist will tell. But it was an example of their own VNA and right. Universal Viewer, and I was able to, you know, get immediately pop it up on my machine, and I'm not carrying a disc to the doctor's office. The orthopedist already has it, and it's across the city.
That's great.
Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah. I was impressed, because I've had MRIs in the past, 2 or 3 years ago. It wasn't there. It was just a disc.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
And before that, it was just, you know, film, you know,
right.
radiology and stuff like that. So
right.
I'm going to an event in November that you have gone to.
I love this event.
The Chime Fall Forum, yes. Yeah. The only problem with that is there's not really there's no fall in Phoenix, really, is there? They call it the Fall Forum, but
I went to when they had it last year. It was in Florida.
Yeah.
So kind of same boat.
Right. You know? So it is like the Chime Fall Forum is sort of like the, I don't know what you want to call it, but it is the mecca for healthcare CIOs. You know, they're just everywhere, right?
Yes.
And vendors.
Yes.
Right. And I did hear a rumor that Foreigner is going to be playing or something.
Who is that?
That group Foreigner.
I haven't heard of
them. Oh, a big rock group from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan, but I think they some rumor. But so I don't know what, I mean, I guess we go to these forums to see what the CIOs are thinking. So I'm going to come armed with a list of topics, and I'm going to see what's on their minds the most. I mean, I'm sure cybersecurity is on their minds. I'm sure analytics, population health, precision medicine, reimbursement issues, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, MACRA. When is MACRA coming? Because it's still not for hospitals. It's only for doctors.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to drop soon. So that's and I plan to do some videos at Chime as well using my little iPhone video setup.
That's awesome. That's a great event to do that.
Yeah, yeah. You've done some really great videos from Chime events, and I hope to try my hand at it as well. And Kristen, you're going to a show that I've been to.
Yes. So I haven't been to this one, but you have. I'm going to AHIMA. That's in kind of mid-October in Baltimore. So in prepping and kind of just looking at the agenda, it seems like two of the really popular topics that I'm most interested in is cybersecurity and population health management. There's just like a ton of sessions on those two topics. So my plan is really just to go and see what people are saying about that. I don't know if you have any advice, Sean, since you've been
there before. Well, see, when it was really so much about ICD-10 last time.
Right.
Because I went last year, it happened just as ICD-10 was hitting, but it was more like the AHIMA people who were so involved with ICD-10 were just like really talking about it was the end. They were sort of celebrating. It was actually a poorly attended AHIMA because everybody was back home making sure ICD-10 was. The year before, everybody was looking forward to ICD-10. So I suspect that this year ICD-10 is going to be much lower on the list of trendy topics. You know, cybersecurity was also pretty big when I went. I went to a couple of sessions. And in fact, I did go to a session at AHIMA last year or the year before that had OCR people from Office of Civil Rights talking about HIPAA, but the actual OCR people, not the high-ranking people, but the field office people.
Right. Okay.
And at that time, they were talking about the delays in the HIPAA audits, which are now, which are now happening. So,
right.
It's a good conference.
Right. Great. Well, that concludes our Hit Squad podcast episode. Please check out our site, searchhealthit.com, for any of our other podcasts as well as our other content. Thank you, everybody, and goodbye.
Bye.